Good luck to all of our matrix. You start your finals journey starting today. Apparently, homeschool, you started earlier. School matrix, you're starting off today. English and Afrikaans on the same day. Yes, like. Just remember, in English, it's a quick brown fox, and in Afrikaans, daar is nie 'n vos nie. Ons het nie 'n vos, was die vos. Is nie 'n vos in Suid-Afrika. Ons ek het nooit 'n vos gesien nie. Daar is nie 'n vos. Dis by 'n ander land het hulle 'n vos. Ons het nie 'n vos nie. So you won't get the fox in Afrikaans, hopefully. So I'm not going to tell you what's going to be in the exam. So Paul Tosio is a dual British South African educational specialist. He's a psychologist qualified at the University of Oxford. There's somebody's going to give us some good advice for the matrix going forward. It's this guy. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you all?
We are very well. Thank you for joining us this morning. Straight into this. Listen, let me ask you. Is it more or less difficult for you to achieve a good matric now than it was, say, in the past?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I would say that nowadays it's easier to get higher grades than it was a couple of decades ago, literally on paper. The only problem is a lot more is expected of students. So sort of 25 years ago, if you had four distinctions, you could easily be the valedictorian at a good school. Mm. And nowadays, you know, kids are often expected to get 6, 7, 8 kind of thing, depending on what course they're going to study, of course. So I would say on one hand, it's easier, but overall, it's more difficult because it's definitely more competitive than it was.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Paul, I want to know what type of modern tech, for example, YouTube or whatever is out there at the moment, what would you suggest that people or students could use as a study aid?
I would say that when it comes to technology, you have to be careful. Now, obviously, technology is fantastic, but a lot of students out there use it to replace their learning technique, and that's never going to work. So what I would say to kids is some of the very basic old school stuff, which you really should still be incorporating in your study methods, is have a pen and paper next to you. And whether you are working from a textbook, listening to a teacher, or working off a YouTube video, whatever the case might be, you've got to be taking notes in which you force yourself to interact with what the person is saying. Now, that means that you don't just head straight to the YouTube video and think that it's magically going to give you the answer. Mm. In fact, I would tell students, before you turn to alternative tech, definitely consult your own textbook and try and learn the stuff to the best of your ability before you go. And what YouTube and any other resources out there can do is they can supplement your learning and fill gaps that you're not managing to learn easily by yourself from the book.
Paul, and then a lot of students are struggling with ADHD. Do you have any advice for those students?
100%. In fact, all the students out there who are listening, I often give, especially when I'm on the radio, because you guys only have like 11 seconds to ask advice from people. I sometimes give two really, really quick bits of advice which can help students do well. And this is going to click into the ADHD. Now, for anyone who's listening out there, I was diagnosed as severely ADHD when I was younger. And anyone who meets me, you can diagnose that pretty much immediately, even if you have no psychological training.
ADHD. We were picking up on that, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got two bits of advice that can help you straight away. The first one is fake like you don't have any teachers. So pretend like your teachers don't exist. Because what that means is if the matric finals are still coming up but your teachers don't exist, you have to teach yourself to the best of your ability. Now, I obviously know what you guys are now thinking.
Yeah.
You're now thinking, but how on earth does a student learn something that they don't know?
Yeah.
And so here's the second easy bit of advice. At the beginning of most of your textbooks, you're going to find, at the beginning of each chapter, that there's normally a list of bullet points which list what's important from the chapter. So they're sometimes called learning outcomes, learning objectives. By the end of the chapter, the student should be able to. Whenever you see that list, turn all of the items of that list into a question.
Yeah.
Then you go and read and get the answer for that question. Now, I teach speed reading, but of course, most students don't know how to speed read. But even if you're reading normally, try and read quickly to get the answer and memorize the answer. So if the first item the list says by the end of the chapter, a student must know what a vector is, ask yourself, but what is a vector?
I get a sense that these matrix really went through quite a bit more than us. It wasn't that long ago we had a pandemic. We're constantly having floods. We have unrest. We had load shedding. Now we have water shedding. The challenges seem so much greater.
Yeah, if you think about it, though, if you do the maths, and I'm sure Paul can correct if we're wrong here, but these matrix probably missed grade 8 because they would have been grade 8 in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were doing this homeschooling and then one day off and then a week off and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah, they've had it tough.
Yeah. So you echo that sentiment there, Paul?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And one can see that there's definitely been an impact because of the pandemic. In the same way, yes, they've had more stresses, but they did also need to learn how to learn a little bit more independently. So there have been some benefits, even though unquestionably there has been additional stress.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Okay, Paul, tell me, what's the first thing you should do when you get into the exam? Bell rings at 9. Kring. What's the first thing?
So, a couple of things. First thing is the corny old advice about take a good deep breath to try and calm yourself down. The thing is, focusing on your breathing and your heartbeat for 20 seconds to 30 seconds is enough to help calm you down and keep you less stressed. Good. Once you know that you're a bit more possessed of yourself and not overly anxious, you can then read through the work. I'm quite sure that the teachers now make the students read through the exam before they do it. But you can also do it a little bit faster. If you use your finger to push the little voice in your mind quicker, you'll notice that as you read, you normally hear a little voice. Using a finger to make that voice speak faster means it'll take less time. So for those students who think, I don't want to read the paper first because I'm going to see the things that I don't know and it'll take ages. That'll help you a little bit. And by the way, when you hit things that you don't know, then breathe into it, breathe it out, breathe into it, breathe it out, because unfortunately it's going to come up anyway. So that's the first thing that I would do. Center yourself, then read the paper and strategize. Notice the mark allocation. So if something is for 5 marks, make sure you're giving 5 things. And if you don't give 5 things, if you only know 3, just leave a bit of a gap. You'll get to the gaps at the end of the exam, but just push through and make sure that the 82% you actually know is on that paper quickly.
So, Paul, we've all had those moments where you kind of hit a blank. You get to an exam, as you said, you read the questions and you're like, ooh, you kind of don't remember, but it's just because you're panicking and you're anxious. Do you have any advice for students that are going through that?
Totally. Now, let me give you a couple of really easy ones. In addition to the heartbeat breath, there's an unusual thing. You'll have noticed that when people are trying not to cry, so if you're at a funeral or there's a friend who's had a breakup and they're trying to hold themselves together, you'll notice that they tend to look upward.
Yeah.
And that's because looking up automatically reduces emotion. So, in fact, I know that a lot of the listeners right now are going to be in the traffic and some of you have road rage. Here's a weird bit of advice. If you drop your chin so that your eyes are looking upward toward the road, or in the student's case, upward towards where they're writing on the paper, that reduces emotion. So believe it or not, such an easy, it's even the Bible, Psalm 121. I look up to the hills from whence cometh my help. It cometh from the Lord. Okay. If you look up, it tends to reduce emotion. That's one. Then another one, if you make a half smile, you guys can do this. Anyone who's listening right now, make a half smile as if you're the Mona Lisa. And notice it literally starts to make you feel happier. Those are the two easiest stress reduction bits of advice that I can give in conjunction with a heartbeat, breath. Those are 3 things you can do which just help to calm you down.
Fantastic.
Okay, Paul, before you go, one do and one don't for parents during exams.
So the students already have enough pressure on them. Don't panic them with too much extra stuff. That's the don't. But then you do ask the students, just explain the work. Just explain the work generally to me. And by the way, Matrix out there, I know that you're freaked out thinking that you need to know everything. It is way better for you to know a decent amount about a lot than a lot about a little.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
There's some great advice there. Paul
nails it, my.
Love that.
Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Great. Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful day.
Will do. That was Paul Tosio, the British South African educational specialist and psychologist qualified at the University of Oxford. He was giving us some great tips this morning. None of them are available to me. One of these days when I'm brave enough, I'll bring you my report card.
You needed that. You needed this advice.
I needed a Paul in my life. Yeah, big time. No, it's the best piece of advice there, actually, was ignore that there's a teacher in the room.
Yes.
Yeah, because their presence can put pressure on you with your ADHD.
Yeah, but you did that already.
Yeah, well, I put pressure on the teacher. So, you know what? If any of this came in handy and you thought, hang on a second, I know a bunch of people who know a bunch of Matrix who this might benefit, we'll have that up on our website as a small little podcast for you a little bit later. East Coast Breakfast.